changing things up a bit tonight. I'm standing on the other side of the bar.
Yeah, I'm sitting on the wrong side.
What is that? And you're like, I don't know what you're doing.
Anthony's like, I'm just coming back
here. I'm like a spectator.
I always try to get you on that side because you don't.
I'm soft-spoken.
You're about to talk loud.
You come over here on this
side. Yeah, sit in his lap. That's fine.
No. My damn seat, Jer.
Damn.
Damn.
You see? The things I do to be nice to people.
There we go.
There, now get my damn seat back.
So today is a good day.
Make the oldest one in here stand.
I'm the second oldest, and I'm standing.
That's good for you. Today is a good day.
Yeah, we played D&D for a while.
Like 5 hours?
Like 5 hours.
I don't want to give away any spoilers, because that's going to be over on KPC Plays D&D, our spinoff podcast that I probably don't promote enough. So I'm going to promote it now. Make sure you go over. It's on Podomatic as well, and iTunes, and everything else, I would assume. But, it's just us sitting around playing D&D, and I said this on that last episode, but I wanted to say it here now. We no longer record the show with my phone. We record it with the exact same setup we're doing right now. We have a couple of new mics set up at the bar, and we play at the bar. So, yeah, it's the quality has been increased slightly.
A lot. I like it.
Because that kind of bothered me. Like, the cell phone was okay, but it picked up a lot of... which we had the air conditioner on again today. But pretty soon it's going to be cool. And it's going to be cool enough pretty soon where we won't have to run it. And that's the only thing with these microphones. It picks up fans and air conditioners really bad.
Yeah.
Got a big announcement tonight. We have our HorrorCon contest winner. Those numbers are still going up on the... The HorrorCon episodes, the trilogy there. I was almost tempted to extend it out even further in case there's any last minute, but I was like, no, we got to cut it off at some time. And what's cool is that the person that won was everyone that entered. And by that, I mean we didn't have as many entrants as I expected. And... because they had to jump through more hoops. You had to send us an email instead of Facebook
Live.
Yeah.
Facebook message.
I know that's a lot of work, but and I was like, you know, I'm really trying to push our fans to interact with us in that way, so I'm going to reward every single person that entered. And the if you entered the contest, you're going to get a Kill Pop Culture t-shirt and sticker. Now, the winner of the HorrorCon prize package is Mr. Lindsey Lee from Dennis, Mississippi. Congratulations, Lindsey Lee. You sent us a great email. There was some close ones. Man, there was a couple of, like, we narrowed it down, and definitely some, you know, close runner-up. So every email was good. There wasn't one that wasn't difficult to decide.
Yeah.
But that's the one we picked. And but the good news is, if you didn't win, you still won, because be expecting a Kill Pop Culture t-shirt and sticker. And hopefully everyone that didn't enter is going, man, I wish I had entered.
Right.
I'd have won a daggum shirt. And I'm not saying that we're going to do this every time, but the numbers just worked out to where I was like, you know what? I'm trying to push towards this kind of interaction. I want to really reward the people who went out of their way. And there were so many good ones. Like, everybody should win. And everybody did. Halloween is just around the corner. And we're gearing up. We got some really cool things in store. I don't think we have enough of hardly anything to officially announce yet, but we're really close on finalizing our plans on where we're going to be and what we're going to be doing. But every show, and there will be at least a show a week in October. We've already done one interview for it, for the first one. But every show is going to be Halloween related, as always. Halloween's probably the biggest time of year for us, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, it's the most exciting. I look forward to it.
Yeah,
that's not only most exciting, I mean, it's the second busiest month for us, other than April. Sure.
Yeah, good point. I'll get to April here in a minute, because we got stuff to announce there too. But Yeah, we got some really, really, our biggest year yet, I think, if things work out like they're supposed to. I think this is going to be the biggest year yet. We're going to be out on the road a little bit, doing some traveling. Mm-hmm. Like I said, there's so much to do. We've already done some of it. We've already got one interview in the bag. We're going to have a lot more. So definitely be looking forward to it. And again, you know, interact with us. Send us an email. Do you have a ghost story that you want us to read on the air? You can be anonymous if you want. Did I say unanimous again?
No, you said anonymous.
I said anonymous that time. You know, sometimes I say things the wrong way on purpose, so that when I do say something stupid on here or use a wrong word, you know, people might think that I'm
just being funny.
Yeah.
Hip hop anonymous.
So you see how I cover my tracks there? There you go. We'll ring the Michael Berryman bell for the right. Horrorcon, and now we'll ring the Shameless Promotion bell.
Right.
Because it doubles us both. For Killjay, we got two shows coming up. One this month and one next.
Woohoo!
Yeah, finally. It's about time. September the 23rd, we're going to be at Mr. Tony's in Verona, Mississippi. We're doing a benefit for Labanner. Teaming up with Love's, the big gas station. The Love's truck stop gas stations. They're actually the ones hosting it. And they're teaming up with Labanner. And it's $7 at the door. All proceeds go towards... I should have pulled the flyer up.
All proceeds go to Labanner.
Go towards Labanner, of course. And they're doing other stuff, though. I know they're going to be cooking food and everything. But yeah, come check that out. It's for a good cause. And we're going to be rocking out with Hell's Heathens, Seeking Seven, and Roses on Red.
Yep. Gonna be a good show.
That'll be awesome. October the 21st is going to be also at Mr. Tony's, the same location. It's gonna be the Halloween show. It's gonna what are they calling that?
The Halloween show?
Breakneck Hellfest or something?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, it's still like in the final stages, but I talked to Ty last night, so I feel comfortable. Like it's confirmed enough to announce it. But I don't have a lot of details yet because it is still in the works.
Yeah, it might be one day. It might be 2 days.
Yeah, he still thinks he might do it October 20th and 21st, but it'll definitely be the 21st, but maybe the 20th as well. I know there's going to be a costume contest as always, so I think that's really cool because, you know, there's so many cosplayers in the area now. You can cosplay for Halloween, right?
It's the same thing.
Or is that sacrilege to cosplayers? I don't know.
It's costume party style.
Yeah. I mean, but wouldn't you wear this? I mean, can't they double?
I'm not a I'm going to say a truly dedicated cosplayer would probably be offended if you called it a costume contest.
If you called it a costume instead of a cosplay, but if you say, hey, wear your cosplay to the costume contest because it's so good it might win.
Right.
So you can make it.
Yeah, but isn't cosplay short for costume play?
Yeah, I don't know. But that's, yeah.
We're
too deep in debt.
Hey, they can't say we're hating on cosplay because Germ is cosplaying, almost said Nightwing, Red Hood.
Yeah, I don't know for sure. I'm just speculating.
Yeah, let us know if you're offended by the fact that we told you to wear your cosplay costume to a costume contest. Let us know. We'll be glad to hear from you.
We need to be informed.
We need information. The Tupelo Comic Con is in April.
Yes.
I don't want to say the date because I don't know if they've officially announced it yet, but we know it's in April because they said that last year.
Yeah.
And it's going to be in April every year, from what I understand. And they, as far as I know, they haven't on the website anyway. They haven't announced the day of the Railroad Festival either. But it's usually around the first, it's either going to be the first or second weekend in April. It's going to be the Amer Railroad Festival. This will be our 10th anniversary. It's going to be huge. Kill Pop Culture is going to do a big thing to promote it. It's going to be, if you've ever been to any of them and liked them, you definitely need to come to this one. And it coincides with the 40th anniversary of the festival itself. So that's going to be really neat.
Cool.
I mean, it's going to be a big, so this is one you don't want to miss. That's all I had for announcements. The Dallas game is on.
Yeah.
Any of our listeners like football? That's why I'm a weird nerd.
I don't think there is that stereotypical nerd anymore. I think with...
Not like pocket protector wear.
I don't think there is anymore. That I think now the way...
I don't know. People still call us nerds for playing D&D.
Oh yeah, absolutely. They're going to because that's what they know to do. But back a long time ago, they were, you know,
the only people who knew great technology was the nerds. Now technology, everybody's got it.
Yeah.
I mean, so, I mean, when I was in school, the guy with a calculator watch was the nerd. You know, now.
Hey, I had a calculator watch.
That's funny. We were watching.
But that's, you know, and I just said how old I was.
I had a calculator watch.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did too.
Really?
Yeah, I did not have a calculator.
I didn't believe it.
Oh, okay. So go ahead and shame me. Like, that's where we're drawing
the
line.
They're going to call us out. Yeah. And then, we had that. No, yeah. I didn't. No, hell no.
Well, that's now. Okay. You're a nerd.
I'm a little older than y'all. I did have a Autobot watch there.
What it turned
into?
Take it off.
It turns into a robot.
Yeah, I remember that.
Take it off and put it back on.
Yeah.
My buddy had
one of those. So, yeah, that beats out your calculator watch. I'm sorry.
The Transform watch was not very impressive, though.
It just
its arms just kind of came out. It was like you remember GoBots?
Yeah.
Like the robot is like
Transformers.
No, the GoBots came out first, I believe.
They did.
They didn't do much. Like, you just kind of stand the car up and fold out the doors for its arms, and it's a robot.
Yeah, I remember the scooter.
You had to have a little imagination, I guess, with those. With the Transformers, like, they really...
They got it. It's kind of like the He-Man toys. The He-Man toys, they were awesome. But before He-Man was Bravestar, which, I'm older than y'all, so, but yeah,
Bravestar.
Yeah.
I remember Bravestar.
My first memories were, like...
Yeah,
He-Man stuff.
I think Bravestar was the cheaper.
I remember when I was a kid, I was so offended because my sister had Barbie dolls, of course, and like I had the He-Man action figure, the doll,
right?
And I held it up next, like stood it up next to Barbie, and Barbie was like way taller than He-Man. I was like, damn it. He's a big old muscular guy, but he's like...
I remember the original G.I. Joes.
She could like kick his ass.
Like 15, 16
inches. Oh yeah, they were huge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know how do we get on that? Oh, because of age.
But
you're right, it's funny, used to you got picked on and made fun of for being a nerd, but now it's come full circle to where people, like nerds, make fun of other nerds for not being nerdy enough. Like you're a poser nerd.
Right? Yeah, but
you're not a real nerd. I only watch that underground manga stuff.
Yeah.
But there's that one.
You guys watching this
you
mainstream.
Get.
Yeah.
Like
people announce that, hey, I'm a nerd. You know, hey, I'm a nerd. I like this and I like this. Now, there's no qualms about it. But back in the day, even if you called a nerd, I was like, oh, I'm not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, and like, there's girls on Instagram that'll just put on some glasses and go, oh my gosh, I'm such a nerd. Like, no, you're not.
Like, bitch, it ain't got glass in it.
Those glasses are trendy. Everybody wears those glasses.
It's like,
Jeremy's got on some right now.
Yeah, but I wear mine to see.
Like, start listing off all the titles of comics you subscribe to, or like, name me like the three top story arcs in Batman comics, or like, you want to start testing.
Yeah,
them, like,
questioning their nerd.
And see, the bad thing is, I only think I could answer half of Mark's nerd questions.
Probably not. But, you know, there's so much stuff now.
Here's an easy thing that I always get away with somehow. When somebody questions my nerdness, I just go, I watch Doctor Who. And then they shut up.
Well, there's nothing I can't tell you about Doctor
Exactly,
Who.
And you're like, you're probably our Doctor Who Oracle in the group, because me and Jern are both big fanatical, but you've literally watched every episode going back to the black and whites.
Yeah.
And I can't say that. Although I've seen a lot.
Now, there is some stuff that I don't remember or...
So why did I bring up the nerd thing anyway? Was I going somewhere with this, or was I just talking?
Probably, but we went off again like we normally do.
Yeah, sometimes we chase those rabbits and we never come home.
Yeah, we're fine. Just chase those rabbits.
Sometimes we find better places to be when we're chasing them.
Rabbit goes off in a hole, we stick our face in there, get bit by a bat. Next thing we know, we're eating our owner. It happens.
Did that happen to you?
Eating our owner.
It's Cujo.
I thought you were making a reference to your dog as I bit you that time.
Oh, my dog did bite me, but I was making a reference.
Yeah, but his dog's name is Bane.
Yeah, my dog's name is Bane.
You expect Bane.
Oh my god, could you dress Bane up for Halloween with like hoses coming out of his head? And
Bane would probably chew
you. I would, but
he'd
probably bite me.
He'd probably bite you?
Yeah, he'd probably bite me. You take pictures of my scars with my 75.
You were pretty messed up for a little while. Yeah. Like, it could swell up.
Yeah,
he bit the shit out of you.
Then he'd look at you and go, do you think you're in control?
So, like, you're kind of Batman now. Because, like, that was Nightfall. He broke your back.
Yeah, I guess so.
You know, metaphorically.
Right.
And you healed and came back. But now you have to go, like, you know,
You're kind of nervous around
him. You have to go revenge. Oh, you're going to have to go punch your dog or something.
Right. I still watch her and feed him and everything.
Yeah.
But
you just don't take his collar off anymore.
No, I took it off.
Did he ever apologize or anything?
Yeah.
In his own way?
In his own way.
He come up and licked you?
Yeah.
Like, say, sorry about that hole. I don't know what's wrong with that.
What about that list you're talking about?
Holy shit, we were supposed to do that tonight.
Well, go ahead and get started. What are you talking about?
We got to do that now. And we're going to do it. We're going to come back and do the list thing.
The one. I can't was like, uh-oh.
I forgot all about that
list.
I didn't
forget about it until just now.
Hand me a notebook.
What, y'all talking about the wrestlers?
Are you looking to reach a wider audience? Are you looking to get your name out there? Are you looking to go to the next level with advertisement? Well, think no more. Advertise with us at Kill Punk
Culture. Tell us a little bit about your business and leave the rest to us. We'll build you a state-of-the-art commercial to be played every episode.
We're only going to take on about one or two more sponsors, so be sure to grab these slots up before they're gone.
We have plans to fit any budget, and we can build a commercial for any type of business.
Email killpopculture69@gmail.com today.
Those new band shirts look awesome. Where did you get those done?
At Anarchy Design.
They do screen printing now?
Oh yeah, they do professional custom screen printing at a very competitive rate.
Well, where can I find them?
Look them up on Facebook, facebook.com/anarchydesign69, or email them at anarchydesign69@gmail.com. You can check out some of their work on their Facebook page. When you're ready to order, you can send them your idea, or they can design it for you. It's a one-stop shop for all your screen printing needs. That's anarchydesign69@gmail.com. It's a one-stop shop for all your screen printing needs. That's anarchydesign69@gmail.com.
All right, it's time for our lists.
We just made a list.
We just made a list.
You just made the list!
And it's not too late, even though we're going to go ahead and name off ours on the air. It's not too late for our listeners to send in their lists of the top 10 greatest wrestlers of all time. We'll read it on the air. If you want to remain anonymous, you can.
I want to remain anonymous.
Do you? Okay. Name is Race Car Bob. Congratulations.
Race Car Bob.
Unanimous.
You're unanimous, you're anonymous, and you're synonymous. And the cool thing about this is none of us four have looked at each other's lists.
No.
Like, you have no idea what's on mine. No peeking. I saw you. I see you over there.
Well, it ain't like I'm going to change an answer.
Still, though, you might say something. So we're going to do this kind of fantasy football style. Like, I'll start with my number, or you're going to start with Anthony, I think.
You're going to start with number 10 or number 1?
Number 10 and work our way down. We're going to do 10, 10, 10, 10, and 9, 9, 9, and all the way up. I did want to pop off a couple honorable mentions, because I could have made mine, I could have listed 25. And there's a few wrestlers that deserve to be in my top 10, but you can only have one of each.
When are we going to name number the honorable mentions?
Now.
Now?
Go ahead with yours.
My honorable mentions are Superfly Snuka.
Yeah.
And Rey Mysterio.
Yeah, see, there's a lot of wrestlers that are going to be, like, they will be on my list one day, but, like, they, in my mind, maybe they haven't been around long enough to establish that greatest of all time, but maybe the future greatest of all, you know, they call people future Hall of Famers, stuff like that.
See, I didn't even think about Ray because he hadn't wrestled in so long.
Yeah, there's some that are, like, there's a couple I would have added, but they're still kind of too new, in my opinion, but... And these aren't necessarily, I said this off air, our favorite wrestler, but they're the ones we think are the top 10 of all time.
Right.
My honorable mentions, and I got to mention this guy, especially now that I know his backstory from where he was on Talk Is Jericho, and I was just blown away by all the things he overcame. Like, he was supposed to have died with this horrible illness. Matter of fact, I'll tell you this story real quick. There was a doctor... And I may be messing the story up, but this is the gist of it. The doctor was coming to visit the village or the little area they were in. They didn't have, like, the doctor would only come ever so often. And Bruno Sammartino is my honorable mention. He was really, really sick, and he was about to die. And the guy told his mom, like, your son's going to die. He's going to die. Well, he came back, like, a month or two later, and he saw Bruno Sammartino's mom and was like, he asked somebody, how is she taking her son's death? And he's like, he's not dead. He's almost completely, like, he's getting better.
Yeah.
And just a whole lot of things like that that made me respect him even more. And, like, he was huge and jacked, but he never did steroids. I mean, I don't even think they had steroids back then. He almost looked like a bodybuilder, but wasn't. I mean, he was, but he didn't do, like, any... I don't think he... I can guarantee you he never did the gas. Like, I can tell. Yeah. Like, and he was in an era, like, and he really stood for what he believed in and stuff like that, but... Bruno Sammartino is in my honorable mention, and Andre the Giant, I got to throw him in there because he is one of the greatest of all time. Yeah. When I was a kid, like watching wrestling, I was like, wow, he really is the eighth wonder of the world. Anybody else got any honorable mentions?
I had Andre on my list, but I took him off.
I've got one, and to me, is The Rock. I mean, don't get me wrong, everybody's going to say The Rock is by far one of the best professional wrestlers.
Most electrifying man in sports entertainment?
Well, you know. Yes, he is, but on my list, Rock's gotten real busy making a lot of money doing movies and stuff now, so, you know, he's not even in the wrestling thing much anymore, so I don't really even consider him a wrestler so much as I do an actor now. Yeah.
But he could still be, you know, one of the greatest wrestlers of all time, even though he's not current. I mean, most of mine aren't wrestling anymore.
Right, right.
I think my honorable mention would have to be the big guy.
Ryback?
Ryback.
He might be one of those on my list, like, later on.
Yeah, because I didn't
know think there's
where
still
to put
a lot
him.
More to his story.
Yeah, you know? I didn't know where to put him in on
like
my list.
He's, like, in his 20s, so...
Yeah.
But, yeah, I definitely like him a lot. Let's go ahead with your number 10, Anthony. Who's number 10 on your top 10?
I feel like I'm cheating by putting this on there as number 10. I'm not doing this. I got The Undertaker's number 10.
Okay.
Case.
Well, all these are a good place to be. I mean, it's your top 10. Yeah. Like, think about how many wrestlers there are in the world. And this isn't just WWE people.
Right.
Like, this is any wrestler in the world. But, and out of all of them, these are our 10. So even if you're number 10, that's a good thing.
The reason why he's so far down on the list is because I didn't get involved in that.
It wasn't your era. Like
That thing. I watched more local wrestling when I was younger, and I got familiar with Undertaker.
Which means your list is going to be really awesome.
Because my list is going to be when I was younger with local wrestlers and stuff like that. I didn't really get into the Hulk Hogan and all them until later on.
Gotcha.
So that's why Undertaker's so far down.
Number 10.
Big Show.
Ah, good one. The Big Show.
And that's mainly just because I met him.
Really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, I met him in Tupelo at...
That's right, you did tell me that a long time ago.
At that used to be the bar at Ramada Inn.
Okay.
Bogart's,
yeah. They'd come in there after they did a Friday show. They was in there Saturday.
Was that a fart?
No, it's a chair.
And he'd sit at the bar, and I was sitting there by him talking to him, didn't realize who he was for a little while, until he told me, hi, my name's Paul. You might know me, it's a Big Show. And I was like...
I thought Triple H's real name is Paul.
Mm-hmm.
His is
Paul Levesque.
Levesque.
Yeah.
Cool. My number 10 is Shawn Michaels.
Nice.
I like him.
I think he really... The thing is about Shawn Michaels is he really carried the torch for WWE when WCW was kicking their ass.
Yeah.
And he was one of the ones that just carried the torch and stayed true. And he's always... I mean, some of the greatest matches of all time... that will go down in history, like him versus Undertaker at WrestleMania 25. I mean, some of the top matches, him and Razor Ramon, that first ladder match. But matches that will go down in history have him in it. So I think he definitely deserves. Who's your number 10?
My number 10 would have to be Ricky the Dragon Steamboat.
Nice. Ricky the Dragon Steamboat is my number 8.
Nice.
Undertaker is my number 2.
Ricky the Dragon Steamboat's my number.
Oh,
nine.
I have to. Yeah, we decided to do it. You know what? Forget I said that.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
Let's keep going.
Yeah. Let's even just keep if, going even where if, we're going. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Ricky the Dragon Steamboat. He was one of my favorites when I was a kid. I mean, he was so charismatic, and you know, he brought that whole different.
He was
a wrestler, but he
also had brought that oriental style.
Yeah, he brought that martial arts style along with it too. So that kind of made a difference, kind of set a standard, I guess you'd say.
Number 9 for you, Anthony?
Well, number 9 for me is
did Ricky the Dragon Steamboat.
Awesome.
Yeah, so.
Kella, 9.
Santiago.
Okay.
Mr. Snake Man.
Santino. Yeah.
Santino Marella.
Yeah.
That's another one that's Vasa. I'm going to go ahead and say this.
As much as I didn't like him, I liked him.
I put this under my list because I was doing this. I was like, we should do a list next week. It would stick with the wrestling thing. We're not always going to do wrestling lists, but why don't we do the most underrated wrestlers of all time? Yeah. Top 10.
Because honestly, that...
Because I would put him like, top 5 of underrated.
I don't even know if I could make a list of top 10 underrated wrestlers.
Let's do a top 5.
I don't...
And I'll do a 10.
...watch that much wrestling.
I would say Butch was... That's not a bad list, but I would say Butch was space in between wrestling back to back.
Yeah, we don't have to just do wrestling. Yeah. So, that was your 9.
Yeah.
My number 9 is Hot Rod, Rowdy Piper.
Oh, yeah.
That's
a good one. So, he's another one I didn't have a place to put.
He was like the ultimate heel back in the day.
Oh, yeah.
He didn't look like a wrestler, but he could go. And he was so controversial at the time. He's in my top 10. What was your number 9?
My number 9 is Sting.
Sting. Absolutely.
Yeah. He was my all time favorite character, and especially when he went from that surfer boy, young baby face
when he went to the crow thing.
Huge. Yeah, you know, and he went that whole year and a half and didn't have a speaking part at all in wrestling. I mean, he was just intimidating. But the reason I like him so much is, even after everything was all said and done with WCW, he's the only one that never had left.
Yep.
At that point, he didn't go somewhere else and then come back. I mean, he stayed true.
And even
to his
years
company.
And years and years after that, he was the most successful professional wrestler of all time that never worked for Vince McMahon until like the last couple of years when he did that little run.
Yep.
So yeah, there's a lot to be said about Sting. What was your number 8?
My number 8 is the Nightmare Danny Davis.
Oh man, good one. Damn it. See,
He was successful as when he first started out as the tag team Nightmares.
I'd like to get him on the show. Isn't he from Mississippi?
I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I know he wrestled in Columbus, but I think his school was in like Arkansas or Ohio.
Maybe he's not. I don't know why I was thinking he's from Mississippi.
Somebody we interviewed said that he was from here.
Not only is he was a good tag team partner. I mean, the Nightmares, they had a good tag team when they was playing in Columbus. And then his partner got hurt, and then he was solo, and they lost the mask, and that's when he became a good guy. And now I think he trains all the wrestlers now. So, right?
He does that. I think someone said he was starting an MMA school as well.
Oh, really?
If I'm not mistaken. Somebody can email me and correct me on that if I'm wrong. Well, actually, we can talk to Joe. Isn't he related to him?
I think so.
So, anyway, who's your number 8? That was a good one.
Sapporo. The Swedish Superman.
Cesaro.
See, I can't...
Cesaro, that's that pizza place in the mall.
Yeah.
I just showed you how much I really
like
wrestling,
though. Pizza. Maybe we need to do that.
Yeah.
I'd probably win that one. But yeah, the Swedish Superman.
Yeah, again, I think he's one of those that would be in my list one day.
He's just a great wrestler.
Yeah,
he sticks all of his
He would moves. Also be on my most underrated wrestling list. Because I don't think he's ever got the proper push he deserves.
No.
Well, you know, he did win that Andre the Giant.
Yeah.
The Ward.
During that Rumble.
My number 8 is Ricky the Dragon Steamboat. Talk about most iconic matches of all time. Those matches, those long, long matches he did, the 2 out of 3 falls with Ric Flair, are some of the best matches of all time. His physique. And, like, he was kind of a big guy. Not big as in fat, but big as in muscular. But he moved like he was a small guy.
Yeah.
That's my number 8. What's yours?
My number 8 is George the Animal Steel.
Oh, nice.
I loved George the Animal Steel. He was so crazy when he come out.
Very unique.
He had his own thing. And looking back at it, you know, a lot of it was silly.
Yeah.
But a lot of what they do on here now is silly. So, but he was always this... Just a brawler.
Anthony, you're number 7.
My number 7. Dirty White Boy.
The Dirty White Boy.
Yeah.
I remember it.
You're going to have to educate me a little bit.
Dirty White Boy followed Memphis. He was the bad guy.
I probably saw him then. I used to watch
Memphis. He was the white trash, white guy from Memphis. Mm. He played as Dirty White Boy. That was
the thing. So he was always like a heel?
He
or?
Was always a heel. I mean, like the heels didn't like him. He was just a nice. Yeah. Dirty White Boy.
Nice. What's yours?
Jake the Snake.
Yes, that should have been in my honorable mentions. Jake the Snake, yeah. Very, well, I mean, well, he wasn't really underrated. He wasn't
underrated at all. He was, but, and when he won, he brought out the bag and let the snake loose on him. And
man, that documentary in the
early years
that the DDP did, the Resurrection of Jake the Snake, man, you need to watch that. It's on Netflix. Even if you don't like wrestling, right. You would like that. It's really, it almost,
I like it.
There's parts that almost make you cry, too.
Yeah.
You got to tighten your jaw up sometimes. My number seven, the Nature Boy Ric Flair.
Woo!
Woo!
Really, I mean, what do you say? Two-time Hall of Famer. Probably the greatest hair in wrestling.
I hated Ric Flair.
Well, see, then he did his job.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. I was so young when I watched. He was the epitome of the bad guy to me.
Oh, for sure.
How he would cower in the corner until you turned around, then he'd get back up, bust you in the back of the head, and
like
win the
almost
match.
Any top 10 list of anybody's, he's probably going to be.
Yeah, in all one way or another.
Because, I mean, so many of our favorite wrestlers, that's their favorite wrestler. You know what I mean?
Right. My number six, it was going to be Ric Flair, but somebody else beat him out.
Okay.
That's why he's not there.
Gotcha. What's yours?
Number seven is John Cena. As much as I don't really care for the guy, as far as a wrestler goes, he's good for the company because people love him, they hate him. It's an on again, off again relationship all the time. But the work he does for charitable organizations and stuff, you can't help but respect the guy.
See, that's why I've got him on my list.
You know, so yeah, I would have to say he's my number seven.
Awesome. What's your six?
The Lex Luger.
Lex Luger?
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, that's a good one.
He was narcissist.
I was so offended when they did a live action He-Man movie and did not pick Lex Luger to play He-Man.
Yeah.
I was like, are you serious? He is He-Man.
Doc Logan did a good job. I mean, he looks kind of.
Yeah, I mean,
he bumped up. You know.
That movie was horrible. It was a swing and a miss, though.
Yeah,
I hope they try that again.
Lex Luger.
Use Lex Luger now.
No.
No. Dolph Lundgren now.
Yeah, Dolph Lundgren either.
Dolph Lundgren held up better than Lex.
Right. Yeah. I think Lex is older though. Right?
Yeah. He's in rough shape. He almost died.
But Lex Luger, he was when he come out, he was just a very good wrestler. I mean, he made a presence. That's what I'm trying to get.
Yeah, very charismatic.
Yeah.
Your number, was this six or seven?
This is six.
You're six.
And my six is really a toss-up. Mickey James. The Diva. I love her.
We should do top 10 divas.
Love her. She was a diva
list,
before
because I don't
the
have
divas.
Any divas on my list. Not that there aren't any that are deserving. I mean, there would be... I did a top 25, I'd have several in there.
Yeah. But if not her, I'd say Sid Vicious.
So you have two number sixes?
Yes. Yeah.
That's what it's a toss up. Because it couldn't be an honorable
they tied
mention.
For six,
but
I guess we can allow that.
Yeah.
This isn't a contest. Right? My number six. And again, like, if there was room to put more than one, like Kelly did, he would be higher on this list.
I made a list of 11 in my 10.
Number six, Hulk Hogan. He is the Babe Ruth of professional wrestling. Like, he's synonymous with pro wrestling. You can't deny his contributions.
I just didn't know where to put him. That's
I almost feel bad. Like, you felt bad for putting Undertaker at 10. Right. I almost feel bad putting Hulk Hogan at six. But he is, he's Hulk Hogan. What can you say? Who's your number six?
Iron Sheik.
Nice.
Iron Sheik was one of the best heels back in the day too, and some of the rivalries that he had with Hulk Hogan.
Oh yeah, I mean, my two heroes when I was a kid was Hulk Hogan and Ronald Reagan, because Ronald Reagan was going to save us from the communists, right. And Hulk Hogan was going to save us from the Iron Sheik.
He said he was glad to be an American.
Yeah, yep. Absolutely. He was totally with that guitar and that. Yep. Totally rocking. Yeah, that's a good one. Your number five.
My number five is Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Nice. Good one. That's yeah. I mean, who doesn't relate to Stone Cold Steve Austin? He would go to work and kick his boss's ass. Mm-hmm. He had the biggest rival of all time was Vince McMahon.
I mean, you can watch it now, and when I said Stone Cold Steve Austin, the same, you got the same reaction when you heard that glass.
Dun, 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 dun. Yeah,
you heard oh,
you know, you knew middle fingers flying everywhere.
Something awesome was fixing to happen.
Like it was okay for little kids to flip people off at WWE events because of him.
And then you always knew beer was fixing to come out.
Yeah. You're number five.
My number five is The Rock.
Good one. Most electrifying man in sports entertainment. My number five is Kane.
Which Kane?
Kane, the Undertaker's brother.
Corporate Kane?
No.
Are we going to the mask?
The demon Kane, the original. Which, man, there's so many things I could say about Kane. He was terrifying when he first came out, first of all. And I thought that whole thing with him and Undertaker is just money. He's lasted the longest, I think, of like he's still in good shape, still goes, like still looks good, still performs well.
Even though I don't too much care for his character right now,
he's not even like he's doing the he's gonna come back, but right now he's running for some office or something.
Yeah, he's running for mayor.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But he was the like from the Attitude Era, I think he's been on TV the longest of any of them.
Yeah.
And he's just good. Like I said, he's just good in the ring. Like, and I didn't even see it. I didn't really even know how good his in-ring storytelling was until I went to a live event that he was at. I was like, damn, this guy, you know, despite, if you look past the imagery, which I like that too, but he's actually a really good wrestler, you know. Tells a good story in the ring. Who's your number five?
Number five. The only reason he's at number five is because I didn't have enough room for him at 1, 2, 3, or 4, but Ultimate Warrior.
Yeah,
I love the Ultimate Warrior. He's another one that was real charismatic and stuff. And I know, you know, over the years he had on again, off again relationship kind of stuff. But the man running out like out of the bat like a bat out of hell, and not like starting just at the curtain. I mean, when he come out of his dressing room, he was running 90-0 the whole way. And then shaking the ropes and stuff and
getting powered up.
Oh yeah.
He just
absolutely loved it.
Yeah, when I was a kid, that he was one of mine. Because he was the epitome of good.
Yep.
Just like Hulk Hogan was.
You're number four.
My number four is The Rock.
The most electrified Switzer. I feel like I've said this before.
Yeah.
You're number four.
The Road Warriors.
Tag team, okay.
Well, there you go.
I mean, you can't have one without the other. And that era, the outfits they wore, their intro.
They're jacked to the roof. They're huge, muscled up.
Yeah, but I mean, whenever they come in, the audience always just erupted, blowed up. And then the way they changed their intro, remember they used to come in on the bikes?
Yeah.
With the shoulder pads and spikes.
Their makeup was really cool, too.
Yeah.
And then they come in with the, what is it, the Eagles or something that would fly down to the stage?
They had the Hulk.
The Hawks, yeah.
Well, because one of them's name was Hulk.
Yeah.
Animal and Hulk. But, that's my number four.
My number four is Sting. His character, progressed with the times, like you brought up, the whole surfer boy thing, which worked perfectly in the 80s. And then he transitioned and kept his character relevant all the way up until I wish he was still wrestling now.
Yeah.
And longevity, you know, and he, you know, I already said stuff about, you know, staying out of WWE but still being successful. And WWE, I mean, it's the major leagues. Right. But he survived without it. Like, he did fine without it.
Yep.
So, you're number four?
My number four is The Undertaker.
Awesome.
I mean, you got to thank The Taker's winning streak, history, and everything. I mean, nobody else has ever done that. Even though I wasn't crazy about the whole American Badass version of him, I mean, he was still Undertaker.
He's still, yeah.
You know, I mean, his wrestling ability was still the same in-ring either way. And he's been in some really, really hardcore matches and stuff too, which
some of the greatest of all time.
Yeah, you know. So yeah, I would have to go with him as my number four.
Your number three, Anthony?
Number three is Bill Dundee.
Nice.
Superstar. Kill Pop Culture alumni.
Another Memphis wrestling guy.
Some of the greatest feuds of all time. If we did a top 10 of greatest feuds, that would be him and Jerry Lawler. Your number three?
My number three is The Undertaker.
Awesome. My number three, ironically, we just brought him up, Jerry the King Lawler.
Nice.
I'm from the South. Yeah. I mean, he is our Hulk Hogan. You know?
He was right. Memphis wrestling.
Like, this is the only part, I think the Southeast is might have been the only part of the world where you could interview anybody off the street, people that don't even watch wrestling, and say, you know, name a wrestler. Anywhere else in the world, they're going to say Hulk Hogan, but here, around here, they're going to say Jerry Lawler. He's the king. He's a super cool guy. I've met him. He's very accessible to his fans. And, you know, an interesting fact about Jerry Lawler, he's never held the WWE Championship.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. But he's the champion of the world, so, like, in real life. So your number three?
My number three would be Stone Cold. I mean, we've already discussed it a while ago. But, I mean,
give me a hell yeah.
Beard and badass. Yeah. That's all you can say. He's the rattlesnake.
The rattlesnake. You're number two, man. We're winding on down the list.
Lord Humongous.
Hey, nice.
Good one. Memphis wrestling. You really are doing the local thing. I like that.
He was in Columbus for a little while before he went to Memphis. And that's another list you can make. The best, what do they call the people that walk out with him?
Valets.
The best valet ever.
Valets or managers.
The manager, Downtown Bruno.
Mm-hmm.
That's another thing. Our listeners need to email us and tell us what list they think we should do. Give us a list ideas.
Yeah.
Because I like this.
Downtown Bruno was just...
Yeah.
I remember more of the managers and stuff than I do than the wrestlers and some of those things.
Gotcha.
The mouth, was the mouth of the side.
Jimmy Hart.
Yeah, all those people.
Yep.
Your number two, Killa?
My number two is John Cena. Dun, 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 dun. I just love his.
Yeah, you've always been a big Cena fan. Yeah, his
USO work.
That's the thing. If you don't like John Cena, you have to respect him.
Yeah.
I mean, I know y'all give me hell and give him hell all the time, but
I listen these days.
I'm kind of interested in that.
I'm not going to be a hypocrite and just say that I've never been to an arena and chanted Cena sucks because I have. But he has earned my respect, for sure.
And you got to think, he's been going at it now for
a long time.
10 years?
Yeah.
10 plus years?
My number two, I think everybody's named off.
Oh, really?
I don't know if you have enough. Yeah, you did. The Undertaker.
Okay.
Yeah.
I love characters. The Undertaker is one of the greatest characters of all time. I'm with you. The American Badass thing wasn't really my thing, but it gave the Undertaker character a break to make it that much more relevant when it came back. And when he came back, he had changed up his clothes a little. It was more of a cowboy hat looking thing.
Well, that's when he started coming in on the Harley, too.
No, I'm talking about after that. When he brought
the Undertaker back.
The dead man back, he modified it slightly, but it was better than ever.
The thing I liked about when he done the badass part, you know, because he kind of had different finishing moves and stuff.
Yeah, he'd do the last ride.
But then... Every now and then, like on a pay for you or something like that, he'd go back.
He'd do his tombstone pile driver.
He'd go to tombstone and add it, or he'd do the sit up.
He's going to go crazy. Yeah. Yes.
And so he kept them the string tied to that other character the whole time.
Your number
two? Jericho.
Ah. Nice.
Jericho had to be in it. Yeah. I mean, because.
You just made the list!
Look at the fact, I mean, I watched him. You know, when I was younger on WCW and the Lion Tamer, you know, and it just, the guy could work a crowd even back then, when he was younger. But now, at the point where Jericho is at with his career in wrestling, it's just amazing to watch him. I mean, I would love to actually just pick his brain.
Sometimes. He's one of those that you absolutely love to hate, and sometimes you just hate to love him.
But yeah, he would have to definitely be my number two.
That's a good one for sure. Well, this is it. This is the number one.
I mean, just back to local wrestling again, but still, I think his character would have held up in any of the major factions in wrestling, whatever. You know, I think he's the best heel ever. I think that's what's up. I'm the heel.
Yeah.
It's Adrian Street.
Okay. Nice.
He was, I don't think anybody ever could have pulled off that character now. See, it's successfully. I mean, I think some people have tried. You know, yeah, it's a pretty good character.
Nice. Number one, Kella.
CM Punk.
Good. Yeah, that's a good one.
Love CM Punk.
Yeah, I really like what they did with him towards the end with the title, him taking it home, and then him coming back. Like, that was... There's a lot to be said about him. That's a good one.
I really think that they lost a lot when they lost him.
People still chant CM Punk.
Yeah.
Number one for me is the Ultimate Warrior.
Nice.
He really brought a lot of relevance to the Intercontinental Championship for me. Because back then, you didn't have a title change. Like, the heavyweight champion, like the main champion.
Right.
That didn't change every week, you know, it seems like it does now. They, like, if somebody was the champ, they stayed the champ for a long time. And they didn't even put the champ on TV that much.
Yeah, that was pay-per-view.
Yeah, they saved it for, like, pay-per-views and big stuff. So your Intercontinental champion kind of was your champion.
Yeah.
And the Ultimate Warrior, his title reign was one of the best of all time. And his match with Hulk Hogan at WrestleMania 6 is my favorite match of all time. Title versus title. I've never seen anything like that because I was like, what? They're both the champs. Like, how do you do that? Did they get both belts? Like, how does this work? The greatest match of all time to me was Ultimate Warrior Hulk Hogan WrestleMania 6. What's your number one?
Mick Foley.
Nice.
I had to go with Mick Foley because he's always been so... He loves to entertain the crowd. But what the man does to his body and puts himself through his matches, which, you know, a while ago when I said Undertaker, some of my favorite matches, you got to throw the cage match with Mick Foley in there. Mick Foley and the Undertaker.
Oh, for sure.
That, I mean, but the guy just, I would just sit there and just cringe knowing he's fixing to die. This guy's fixing to die.
Think, yeah.
Yeah, when he threw him off the cage, I was like, I just watched a man die.
Yeah. So, Mick Foley is definitely my number one.
Awesome. I want to give one last shout-out to honorable mentions, and this is biased, I'm not going to lie, but we talked about this isn't just WWE people.
Right.
I got to give a shout-out to our local boys at the OWO.
Yes.
I'm so impressed by them because they're in such a small town, such a small market, but yet they have the numbers at their shows.
They
bring in
it.
Big names, like legendary wrestlers all the time. Like I said, all their shows do well. We've had Neil Taylor on the show. We've had
Tony
Dabbs on the show. I talk to Chop Smith all the time. He's going to be on the show. All those dudes are awesome. I had fun doing the list.
Yeah,
we should make this a thing. We meant to do it every episode, but
I like it because it was more. I think 10 was a lot. We could because it did as far as time.
Yeah, I was trying to kind of move through them a little fast. But this was a slow show anyway. We didn't have an interview.
We had five. We had more time to elaborate on our choices. Or
right,
and, probably five would probably be even harder though.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. God.
The topic. You'd nitpick it a little bit better.
Yeah. Dude, this is perfect. And this will be right up your alley. Our first episode of the Halloween season. We need to do top 10 horror movies.
Top 10 horror movies? Okay.
Yep.
Yeah.
Top 10?
Yeah.
You're top
10. Should we do the top 10 scariest horror movies? Because there's some horror movies that are great that weren't so scary. Like, some are just absolutely terrifying. And then some of them, you know what I mean? Like, some of the Jason stuff, it's not that it's scary.
I don't think any of the Jason stuff was scary.
I don't know. Some of
after the second one.
Because
I think we kind of started getting desensitized by that.
That's fine. I mean, it's still, if it's standalone, it's scary. I mean,
if they make like 8 to 10 movies out of a series, you just get
if you want to know if a movie's scary or not, watch it at home by yourself.
By yourself, exactly.
Right.
Then you tell me it's not scary.
Yeah, right. people like the Blair Witch Project ain't scary. Okay, go watch it. Go camping.
Yeah, go watch it while you're camping.
Yeah, watch it while you're camping. Yeah,
and don't take any toilet paper.
Right,
because you're gonna shit yourself.
this, you know,
I can already tell you the movie that is for me, and I still ain't watched it to this day. It's Paranormal Activity. I can't watch it
pretty
by creepy. Myself.
It's scary.
Me and ex sitting tried to watch it one time, and I was like, nah, I can't do it.
So yeah, we may do a list between now and then, but let's make that a thing.
We'll do that.
That gives our our fans our listeners plenty of time to submit their list to us, and we can name theirs off as well.
Right.
Did nobody submit anything for this list?
No, because I announced it last week and then you know we did it this week. But it's not too late. Like, you can still send us your 10 wrestlers, and we'll still, you know, on the next episode.
Yeah, for that matter, anytime we do a list, they can just submit.
Yeah. Well, I would like to know what kind of list they want to talk about.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's episode 78 of Kill Pop Culture. Thanks for listening.
You got to do your recap, too.
Yeah, I'll do that next week.
Okay.
22 more episodes. What happens?
We turn 100.
And then what happens?
We drink a beer.
What do we do? Oh, we drink the mead.
We drink the mead.
Mead.
Ooh. Like the 100th episode, we're drinking the 100th episode's extravaganza.
Yeah, drinking the mead.
Thanks for listening to Kill Pop Culture. Well, that was bad.
Yes. Oh.
Well, because I touched the bell, like, and I killed the resonance.
Let me mean it.
Goodbye. Not you, them. But I love you too, I guess.
Okay, me. I'm going home.
All right.
Thought you'd already done.
Enjoyed it.
I wanted to take a minute to tell you about our good friends and sponsors of this show, Shadow Stalkers Paranormal from Amory, Mississippi.
This isn't your average paranormal thing.
Shadow Stalkers is a nonprofit group that hosts fundraisers for families in need. And they also host fundraisers for historical sites.
Their fundraisers and paranormal investigations are open to the public, and they encourage everyone not to just watch, but to join in.
Look them up on Facebook and feel free to shoot them a message if you have any questions.
They are here to assist you with any paranormal needs you may have.
That's Shadow Stalkers Paranormal. Go search for them on Facebook and check them out. That's Shadow Stalkers Paranormal. Go search for them on Facebook and check them out.